Information, please. Wake up, America. Time to stump the experts. Trot out your toughest questions and send them to us with the right answers. Four experts every Tuesday night will answer them correctly or pay you $5 for every question that stumps them. And each question accepted gets you $2. Our master of ceremonies is Clifton Fadiman, literary critic of the New Yorker magazine. Mr. Fadiman.
Thank you. Good evening, everybody. Mr. Franklin P. Adams, humorist of the New York Post, and Mr. John Kieran, sports expert of the New York Times, are here again this evening. You can't keep them away. They just love this program. Don't you, Mr. Kieran and Mr. Adams? Our guests of honor have both been with us before. Mr. Oscar Levant, pianist, composer, and baseball expert, he says.
And Mr. Ben Hecht.
Mr. Hesh says he knows more about insects and likes them better than plays and motion pictures. His great reputation, however, is founded on plays and pictures, whether Mr. Hesh likes it or not, and whether these bugs like it or not. Now, rules and regulations, gentlemen. Rules and regulations. I'll put the question to the entire board. And if you know the answer, raise your hand. Be answered by one man. If it's composed of more parts than two, the board may cooperate. But if any part is answered wrongly, we lose $5. When you hear that cash register ring, that means the questioner is actually getting his $5, and a good thing, too. I'd like to repeat finally, everybody, that this is a spontaneous and unrehearsed program. The experts don't know the questions, and maybe they won't know the answers. Are you all ready, gentlemen? Here we go. The first question is from Mrs. A.B. Churchill of 27 Washington Avenue, Nyack, New York, which I believe is Mr. Hecht's place of residence. Question. The first lines of the following sets of couplets will be read, and you will have to complete them. Now, you don't have to complete them in rotation. You can just volunteer. Anyone who knows the second line will volunteer to answer. And if you don't know the classic second line and can make up a good one, which I will accept, we don't lose $5. Are you ready? One. 10 little Indians standing in a line. 10 little Indians standing in a line. Mr. Kieran.
One walked away and then there were nine.
Very good. 9 little Indians swinging on a gate. Mr. Kieran again.
One fell off and then there were eight.
He certainly knows his Indians. 8 little Indians climbing up toward heaven. Mr. Kieran.
One fell down and then there were seven.
7 little Indians picking up sticks.
One broke his neck and then there were six.
That was Mr. Kieran, I needn't tell you. 6 little Indians playing with a hive. Mr. Kieran?
One was stung and then there were five.
And now you other gentlemen can leave the room and come back in about 3 or 4 minutes if you wish. 5 little Indians on a trap door.
One fell through and then there were four.
Thank you, Mr. Kieran. 4 little Indians up in a tree.
One jumped out, and then there were three.
3 little Indians out in a canoe.
One was drowned, and then there were two.
2 little Indians playing with a gun.
One pulled a trigger, and then there was one.
1 little Indian living all alone. 1 little Indian living all alone.
He died, and now they're unknown.
Good enough. Poor little experts with bad memories almost lost $5 for information, please. I made that up in advance. I don't mind telling you. Second question from Mr. H. Skelding Timmins, 619 Washington Street, Boston, Massachusetts. This question has to do with the famous superstitions of equally famous baseball players. And there are 5 superstitions corresponding to 5 baseball players. You don't know the answer, Mr. Levant? Or we'll excuse you. And you have to get 4 out of 5. 1. What old-time Major League Baseball player took his chewing gum off his cap and put it back in his mouth when he had 2 strikes called on him? Mr. Kieran.
Eddie Collins.
That's
now with the Boston Red Sox.
Very good.
Spencer Tracy did it in Test Pilot.
Yes, but that's another question. Thank you, Mr. Levant. You get a lot of extra information out of Mr. Levan. He just doesn't know the answers to the right questions.
No.
Two, what baseball player carries such souvenirs as pebbles, old coins, and rabbit feet in the pocket of his playing uniform? I'd like to see that pocket.
Well,
Mr. Kieran?
I think there are, perhaps a dozen or more who carry souvenirs in their pocket.
Well, let's have eight or ten.
Well, I can give you one anyhow.
All right,
he was right
in
town. He pitched yesterday, I think. Lefty Gomez of the Yankees.
That's correct. At least that's what I have down here on the white card. Three, what baseball player takes three steps from the foul line, drops his glove, and steps on it on his way to the dugout? Volunteers?
Harpo Marx.
You know, that might be right, Mr. Levant, but is he a baseball player?
Softball.
Oh, softball. Does he use a bat?
Wig.
Just a ball and wig player. How about that, Mr. Kieran?
No, I don't know. I never followed a ball player's footsteps that closely.
The answer is Grove.
Maybe so.
You won't accept the answer, Mr. Kieran?
Yeah, I'll believe it.
All right, that's one wrong. Now, we've got to get the next two quite correct in order to win this $5, or at least not lose this $5. What baseball coach refused to change his shirt for 6 days? It's a pretty dirty story. What baseball coach refused to change his shirt for 6 days for fear that he would break his team's winning streak?
Oh,
know that one?
Yes, that was printed about a month ago. That was Hank Gowdy of the Cincinnati Reds.
That's correct, Mr. Kieran. Five, what baseball manager hired a truck of empty barrels to cross the path of his team on their way to the field? I don't believe these
that's
things.
That's an old chestnut. That's true, but I mean everybody knows. That's John McGraw.
What do you mean everybody?
Among others.
I didn't know it.
Well, John McGraw did. He wrote it. It's in his book.
Oh, you read the book, too?
Yes.
Oh, you ought to be a book reviewer. All right, that's 4 out of 5. All answered by Mr. Kieran, with a little assistance from Mr. Levant on the movie end. Third question, from Mrs. Kent Powers, 2408 Russell Avenue, Minneapolis, Minnesota. Now, we're asked to name the classical compositions whose themes or melodies are suggested by the following popular songs. And I'm not going to read the titles of them. I'm going to have the pianist play a few measures. And you'll have to give us the classical compositions whose themes or melodies are suggested by those measures. Ready? First. Mr. Levant.
It's the Chopin Minute Waltz. It's in
yes.
the wrong key.
It's in the wrong key. Well, if that doesn't prove if this is an unrehearsed program, I don't know what does. What popular song is it that was based on the Minute Waltz?
It was in a show in which Alice Bluegown. Irene, is that the name of the show?
I don't know.
I didn't
know on my car.
Song. That's really before my time. Tierney and McCarthy wrote it. I know that.
Well, is it My Castle of Dreams? Is
I
that the name?
Know the name.
Wouldn't know that. Well, all you have to know is Chopin's Minute Waltz. That's correct. Second selection. Mr. Levant, he knows it.
That's a Chopin impromptu.
Fantasy impromptu. Yes. And what's the popular song? Do you happen to know?
Chasing Rainbows.
I'm always chasing rainbows.
Harry
That's
Carroll
correct.
Wrote it.
Third selection. Mr. Levant again.
Dvorak, New World, second
yeah.
movement.
And what's the popular song?
Going Home.
That's right. Nice accent you've got there, Mr. Levant. Have to use that sometime. Fourth selection. Volunteers. Mr. Adams.
Sullivan.
I beg pardon?
Sullivan, the Pirates of Penzance.
The Pirates of Penzance. And what's the song?
Hail, Men Who Plow the Sea.
And the song which was stolen from that?
Hail, Hail, the Gang's All Here.
That's quite correct. And fifth and lastly. Mr. Levant?
La Tosca, Puccini.
That's correct. And what is the song?
Avalon.
5 out of 5. I think that's pretty good. Hey. To judge from this information that you've given us, Mr. Levant, it must be a great advantage for a popular songwriter like you to know a lot of classical music.
I don't use it.
You don't use classical music at all?
Nor the popular, either.
Just right by ear. Next question for Mrs. C.S. Burgess of Grafton, Massachusetts. We all know what Shakespeare's Puck thought of us. Lord, what fools these mortals be. You've all heard that quotation, gentlemen?
Yes,
they all have. I'm going to ask you to give three other famous quotations that mention a fool, or fools, or folly. Now, any of you gentlemen an expert on fools or folly? Mr. Adams.
I met a fool in the forest.
That's correct. What's it from?
I think As You Like It.
That's right.
Thank you, Mr. Carey. The boys are working together tonight. That's one. Mr. Hay.
A fool there was, and he made his prayer.
Yes, what's that from?
From Kipling.
Yes, that's right. I don't know the name of the poem either, do you?
The Vampire.
Thank you, Mr. Adams. Very cooperative board. Third, we have to name one more about fools or folly, and then we can quit this foolery. Mr. Levant.
I thought he was going to beat me. I don't know whether I'm right.
You want to take a chance? Listen,
Fools, what is that about? Tread again.
Rush in.
No, you can't get together, boys. Let me have a complete answer. I'll take Mr. Kieran, then.
Ben Heck lifted mine right out of my mouth.
Put that back in his mouth, Mr. Heck.
I got it. What?
Got it back? Open your mouth, Mr. Kieran. That's right. There she goes. Let's have it.
A fool and his money are soon parted.
That's correct. You know who wrote that?
Not offhand.
Oh,
Benjamin
well
Franklin.
I beg pardon, Mr.
Benjamin Adam. Franklin.
No, Mr. Anon. A-N-O-N. Mr. Anon. Doing pretty well so far. The fifth question is a combined question. We've combined questions from two people. One from Mr. Faye Kabatsnik, Miss Faye Kabatsnik, of 422 South Lapeer Drive, Beverly Hills, California. And others from Samuel Claiborne Knuckles, Jr., 128.
Was that a K or a C?
That is a K. K-O-R-Z-E-N-I-O-W-S-K-I. A Notre Dame cheer. Korzenyovsky. I beg pardon, Mr. Kieran.
His first name Theodore?
No, but we haven't time to go through all the first names, you know. No, his first name was not Theodore. I'll give you that much of a hint. Korzenyovsky.
Well, he's a Russian, but that...
No.
That's Polish.
Yes. I beg pardon?
That would be Polish.
Yes, he was Polish, Mr. Levant.
He was Polish?
Well, yes, he was. He's dead now.
Dead?
Dead, yes, dead. Sorry, Korzenyovsky is the real name of Joseph Conrad, the famous novelist who wrote Lord Jim and the Rover and so forth. That's going to cost us $5. And that $5 goes to Miss Helene Nitcher at Maquoketa, Iowa, as soon as we can get it to her. Next question from Mr. Marshall Seddon, 27 Sunnyside Street, Lockport, New York. This is about movies. Name a movie in which each of the following...
Information, please. Wake up, America. Time to stump the experts. Trot out your toughest questions and send them to us with the right answers. Four experts every Tuesday night will answer them correctly or pay you $5 for every question that stumps them. And each question accepted gets you $2. Our master of ceremonies is Clifton Fadiman, literary critic of the New Yorker magazine. Mr. Fadiman.
Thank you. Good evening, everybody. Mr. Franklin P. Adams, humorist of the New York Post, and Mr. John Kieran, sports expert of the New York Times, are here again this evening. You can't keep them away. They just love this program. Don't you, Mr. Kieran and Mr. Adams? Our guests of honor have both been with us before. Mr. Oscar Levant, pianist, composer, and baseball expert, he says.
And Mr. Ben Hecht.
Mr. Hecht says he knows more about insects and likes them better than plays and motion pictures. His great reputation, however, is founded on plays and pictures, whether Mr. Hecht likes it or not, and whether the bugs like it or not. Now, rules and regulations, gentlemen. Rules and regulations. I'll put the question to the entire board. And if you know the answer, raise your hand. Be answered by one man. If it's composed of more parts than two, the board may cooperate. But if any part is answered wrongly, we lose $5. When you hear that cash register ring, that means the questioner is actually getting his $5, and a good thing, too. I'd like to repeat finally, everybody, that this is a spontaneous and unrehearsed program. The experts don't know the questions, and maybe they won't know the answers. Are you all ready, gentlemen? Here we go. The first question is from Mrs. A.B. Churchill of 27 Washington Avenue, Nyack, New York, which I believe is Mr. Hecht's place of residence. Question. The first lines of the following sets of couplets will be read, and you will have to complete them. Now, you don't have to complete them in rotation. You can just volunteer. Anyone who knows the second line will volunteer to answer. And if you don't know the classic second line and can make up a good one, which I will accept, we don't lose $5. Are you ready? One. 10 little Indians standing in a line. 10 little Indians standing in a line. Mr. Kieran.
One walked away and then there were nine.
Very good. 9 little Indians swinging on a gate. Mr. Kieran again.
One fell off and then there were eight.
He certainly knows his Indians. 8 little Indians climbing up toward heaven. Mr. Kieran.
One fell down and then there were seven.
7 little Indians picking up sticks.
One broke his neck and then there were six.
That was Mr. Kieran, I needn't tell you. 6 little Indians playing with a hive. Mr. Kieran.
One was stung and then there were five.
And now you other gentlemen can leave the room and come back in about 3 or 4 minutes if you wish. 5 little Indians on a trap door.
One fell through and then there were four.
Thank you, Mr. Kieran. 4 little Indians up in a tree.
One jumped out and then there were three.
3 little Indians out in a canoe.
One was drowned and then there were two.
2 little Indians playing with a gun.
One pulled a trigger and then there was one.
1 little Indian living all alone. 1 little Indian living all alone.
He died and now they're unknown.
Good enough. Four little experts with bad memories almost lost $5 for information, please. I made that up in advance. I don't mind telling you. Second question from Mr. H. Skelding Timmins, 619 Washington Street, Boston, Massachusetts. This question has to do with the famous superstitions of equally famous baseball players. And there are 5 superstitions corresponding to 5 baseball players. You don't know the answer, Mr. Levant? Or we'll excuse you. And you have to get 4 out of 5. 1. What old-time Major League Baseball player took his chewing gum off his cap and put it back in his mouth when he had 2 strikes called on him? Mr. Kieran.
Eddie Collins.
That's correct.
Now with the Boston Red Sox.
Very good.
Spencer Tracy did it in Test Pilot.
Yes, but that's another question. Thank you, Mr. Levant. So you get a lot of extra information out of Mr. Levant. He just doesn't know the answer to the right question. So. 2. What baseball player carries such souvenirs as pebbles, old coins, and rabbit feet in the pocket of his playing uniform? I'd like to see that pocket.
Well,
Mr. Kieran?
I think there are, perhaps a dozen or more who carry souvenirs in their pocket.
Well, let's have 8 or 10.
Well, I can give you one anyhow.
All right,
he was right in
one.
Town. He pitched yesterday, I think. Lefty Gomez of the Yankees.
That's correct. At least that's what I have down here on the white card. 3. What baseball player takes 3 steps from the foul line, drops his glove, and steps on it on his way to the dugout? Volunteers?
Harpo Marx.
You know, that might be right, Mr. Levant, but is he a baseball player?
Softball.
Oh, softball. Does he use a bat?
Wig.
Just a ball and wig player. How about that, Mr. Kieran?
No, I don't know. I never followed a ball player's footsteps that closely.
The answer is Grove.
Maybe so.
You won't accept the answer, Mr. Kieran.
Yeah, I'll believe it.
All right, that's one wrong. Now, we've got to get the next 2 quite correct in order to win this $5, or at least not lose this $5. What baseball coach refused to change his shirt for 6 days? It's a pretty dirty story. What baseball coach refused to change his shirt for 6 days for fear that he would break his team's winning streak?
Oh,
that one?
Yes,
Mr.
that was
Kieran.
Printed about a month ago. That was Hank Gowdy of the Cincinnati Reds.
That's correct, Mr. Kieran. 5. What baseball manager hired a truck of empty barrels to cross the path of his team on their way to the field? I don't believe these
things. That's an old chestnut. That's true, but I mean everybody knows. That's John McGraw.
What do you mean, everybody?
Among others.
I didn't know it.
Well, John McGraw did. He wrote it. It's in his book.
Oh, you read the book, too?
Yes.
Oh, you ought to be a book reviewer. All right, that's 4 out of 5. All answered by Mr. Kieran, with a little assistance from Mr. Levant on the movie end. 3rd question, from Mrs. Kent Powers, 2408 Russell Avenue, Minneapolis, Minnesota. Now we're asked to name the classical compositions whose themes or melodies are suggested by the following popular songs. And I'm not going to read the titles of them. I'm going to have the pianist play a few measures. And you'll have to give us the classical compositions whose themes or melodies are suggested by those measures. Ready? First. Mr. Levant.
It's the Chopin Minute Waltz. It's in
yes.
the wrong key.
It's in the wrong key. Well, if that doesn't prove that this is an unrehearsed program, I don't know what does. What popular song is it that was based on the Minute Waltz?
It was in a show in which Alice Bluegown. Irene, is that the name of the show?
I don't know.
I
didn't
know
on my card.
Song. That's really before my time. Tierney and McCarthy wrote it, I know that.
Well, is it My Castle of Dreams? Is
I
that the name
of
it? You wouldn't know that. Well, all you have to know is Chopin's Minute Waltz. That's oh. correct. Second selection. Mr. Levant, he knows it.
That's a Chopin impromptu.
Fantasy impromptu. Yes, and what's the popular song? Do you happen to know?
Chasing Rainbows.
I'm always chasing rainbows.
Harry Carroll wrote it.
Third selection. Mr. Levant again.
Dvorak, New World, second
yeah.
movement.
And what's the popular song?
Going Home.
That's right. Nice accent you've got there, Mr. Levant. Have to use that sometime. Fourth selection. Volunteers. Mr. Adams.
Sullivan.
I beg pardon?
Sullivan, the Pirates of Penzance.
The Pirates of Penzance. And what's the song?
Hail, Men Who Plow the Sea.
And the song was stolen from that?
Hail, Hail, the Gang's All Here.
That's quite correct. And fifth and lastly... Mr. Levant?
La Tosca, Puccini.
That's correct. And what is the song?
Avalon.
5 out of 5. I think that's pretty good.
Oh.
To judge from this information that you've given us, Mr. Levant, it must be a great advantage for a popular songwriter like you to know a lot of classical music.
I don't use it.
You don't use classical music at all?
Nor the popular, either.
Just right by ear. Next question for Mrs. C.S. Burgess of Grafton, Massachusetts. We all know what Shakespeare's Puck thought of us. Lord, what fools these mortals be. You've all heard that quotation, gentlemen?
Yes,
they all have. I'm going to ask you to give 3 other famous quotations that mention a fool or fools or folly. Now, any of you gentlemen an expert on fools or folly? Mr. Adams.
I met a fool in the forest.
That's correct. What's it from?
I think As You Like It.
That's right.
Thank you, Mr. Carey. The boys are working together tonight. That's one. Mr. Hay.
A fool there was, and he made his prayer.
Yes, what's that from?
From Kipling.
Yes, that's right. I don't know the name of the poem either, do you?
The Vampire. The
Thank
vampire.
You, Mr. Adams. Very cooperative board. Third. We have to name one more about fools or folly, and then we can quit this foolery. Mr. Levant.
I thought he was going to beat me. I don't know whether I'm right.
You want to take a chance? Listen,
Bulls, what is that about? Tread again.
Rush in.
No, you can't get together, boys. Let me have a complete answer. I'll take Mr. Kieran, then.
Ben Heck lifted mine right out of my mouth.
Put that back in his mouth, Mr. Heck.
I haven't got it. What?
Got it back?
What is that?
Open your mouth, Mr. Kieran. That's right. There she goes. Let's have it.
A fool and his money are soon parted.
That's correct. You know who wrote that?
Not offhand.
Oh,
Benjamin
well, no, no.
Franklin.
I beg pardon, Mr.
Benjamin
Adam.
Franklin.
No, Mr. Anon. A-N-O-N, Mr. Anon. Doing pretty well so far. The fifth question is a combined question. We've combined questions from 2 people. One from Mr. Faye Kabatsnik, Miss Faye Kabatsnik, of 422 South Lapeer Drive, Beverly Hills, California. And others from Samuel Claiborne Knuckles, Jr., 128 High Street, Versailles, Kentucky. Very long names and addresses, those, huh? Question. The following well-known lines are from plays that were later screened. You have to name 4 out of 5. First line. Think fast, Captain. Mr. Hay.
What price glory?
Good. 2. Isn't the moon beautiful? Pardon me for pointing. Isn't the moon beautiful? Pardon me for pointing. Gosh, I know that one. Volunteers.
How about a guess?
All right, Mr. Kern, let's have a guess.
June Moon?
That's terrible.
I can guess better than that. I think it was having a wonderful time.
Yes, leave out the A and you'd be right. Having a wonderful time. But I'll have to count that wrong because Mr. Kern gave us the wrong answer first and Mr. Hecht gave us the right answer second. I have loved as a woman loves, lost as a woman loses. I have loved as a woman loves, lost as a woman loses. Very pretty sentiment. Volunteers?
Who was in the picture?
Shakespeare.
No. Nice guess, Mr. Adams. Shakespeare didn't write everything. No, it's from
pretty
Mary
near.
Scotland by Maxwell Anderson. That's two wrong. Four, a woman should be struck regularly like a gong. Mr. Levant.
Private Lives, Noel Coward.
That's correct. And fifth, men are all pigs. Just pigs, pigs, pigs. Sounds like a pretty hammy line to me. No, the answer to that one.
There's a play called Pigs.
Never mind that. There's a story called Pigs is Pigs. And there's a movie called The Three Little Pigs. That's not enough for tonight. Men are all pigs, just pigs, pigs, pigs. The answer is...
Might be from the women, but I didn't see it.
Thank you, Mr. Adams, but it is not. No, it's from a very famous play, Rain. Considering how near to the theater you gentlemen are, I don't think you did so well on that one. You got three wrong out of five, and that's going to cost us $5. Thank you very much. The next one from Mrs. Warren D. Rice, 30 Park Drive, Williamsville, New York. Now, this is tough. This is such a tough question, I can hardly read it. What relation are the following people to you? And you have to get three out of five. What relation are the following people to you? One, your aunt's mother's father's wife. You want some pencil and paper? Or would you like me to bring in a couple of aunts and mothers so we could make this thing clear? Your aunts, mothers, fathers, wife. Mr. Hay.
Great, great aunt.
You know, that may be right, but it says on my card, great grandmother. Great grandmother. Yeah. That would be correct, Mr. Levant. Two, your brothers, sons, sisters, mother. Those who make this two out of three. This is really a tough one. To make this two out of three. Your brother's son, sister's mother, Mr. Kieran.
Sister-in-law.
That's correct. Three, your sister-in-law's father-in-law's son. I don't know who I am anymore. Your sister-in-law's father-in-law's son. Mr. Hay.
That would be me.
That's right, Mr. Hay. Okay. Gosh, I'm glad I'm through with that one. The next one for Mr. and Mrs. John G. Cunett, 769 St. Mark's Avenue, Brooklyn, New York. What books would the following newspaper headlines, imagined newspaper headlines, suggest? One, ex-auto magnate on tour deserts flirtatious wife. Mr. Adams.
Dodsworth.
That's correct. By whom?
Sinclair Lewis.
Very good indeed. Two, mischievous Middle Western boy resents maiden aunt's attempts at civilizing. Mr. Hay.
Tom Sawyer.
No, I'm awfully sorry. You're next door to it. Mr. Kieran.
Huckleberry Finn.
You have to call that wrong, though. Huckleberry Finn's correct. Three, as planter, slave trader, wine merchant, a convent-raised foundling is pursued by bad luck. Mr.
Never
Kieran.
Mind. Anthony Edwards.
Good for you. And four, runaway children fly back to grieving parents after escapades in children's paradise. Mr. Levant.
Right.
Thanks, and come again.
Thank you, Mr. Fadiman. Remember, send in your questions. $2 per question accepted, $5 more if the board flops on it. All questions become the property of Information Please. Send them to Information Please, NBC, Radio City, New York. This is the National Broadcasting Company.